Welcome to this deep dive. Today we're tackling the quantum quandary, from theoretical whimsy to AI's next frontier.
It's a fascinating topic.
It really is. Think of quantum computing like maybe the infinite probability drive from Hitchhiker's Guide. It sounds impossible, feels improbable, and it definitely bends the mind.
That's a good analogy, actually.
Because, you know, regular computers use bits. Simple. A zero or a one. That's it. But quantum computers, they use qubits.
Right. And qubits are where it gets weird. They can be zero, they can be one, or they can be in a superposition of both states at the very same time.
Which allows for this incredible parallel processing power. It's fundamentally different.
Exactly. So our mission today really is to trace that journey. We'll look at the theoretical ideas where it all began.
Way back.
Yeah. Then we'll navigate where we are now, this kind of noisy present, the NISQ era we hear about.
NISQ, right? Noisy intermediate scale quantum.
Correct. And finally, touch on how it's connecting more and more with artificial intelligence. It's this symbiotic relationship that's forming.
Okay. So let's unpack that. The origins, I mean, it goes back to early 20th century physics, doesn't it? The really strange stuff.
Oh, absolutely. You've got Max Planck talking about quanta, these discrete energy packets,
wow.
Niels Bohr's model of the atom, which was revolutionary, and then Einstein and his colleagues with the EPR paradox.
That highlighted things like superposition, which you mentioned, but also entanglement, right?
Yeah.
This spooky action at a distance.
Spooky action, yeah. Where qubits are linked, instantly affecting each other no matter how far apart. It's fundamental to how these computers could work.
But it was Richard Feynman, wasn't it, who really connected these like abstract physics ideas to actual computation back in 81.
That's right. Feynman's insight was crucial. He basically said, look, the universe is quantum mechanical if you want to simulate it accurately.
You need a quantum computer.
Exactly. Classical computers, even supercomputers, they struggle. They can't efficiently model these quantum interactions. Feynman saw we needed a quantum system to simulate a quantum system. It was about computing things we literally couldn't compute before.
Okay, and then things get really interesting. Peter Shor, 1994, his algorithm.
Ah, Shor's algorithm.
Yes.
Yes.
This wasn't just academic. The source is called a cryptographic earthquake.
That's a good way to put it. It really was.
Because he showed a quantum computer could factor large numbers super, super fast. Exponentially faster than anything classical.
Which directly threatens the encryption we rely on every day. Things like RSA.
Our online banking, secure websites, everything, suddenly vulnerable, at least in theory.
And that discovery, that potential vulnerability, absolutely kicked off a wave of interest. Governments, companies, they started pouring billions into quantum research. It made it real.
So that theoretical earthquake happened back in 94. But building these things is hard. Where are we now? You mentioned the NISQ era.
Right. Noisy intermediate scale quantum. The intermediate scale means we have machines with, you know, tens or hundreds of qubits, not the millions we might eventually need for some applications.
And noisy. What's holding things back?
The core challenge is decoherence. Qubits are incredibly fragile. Think ridiculously fragile.
Okay.
Any tiny interaction with their environment, heat, vibrations, stray magnetic fields can make them lose their quantum state, lose the superposition and entanglement we need.
Which means errors creep in constantly, hence noisy.
Precisely. It often means cooling these things down to temperatures near absolute zero using complex shielding. It's a massive engineering challenge.
But despite that noise.
Yeah.
Despite the fragility.
Yeah.
Wow, the hardware race is on. Companies are setting some pretty ambitious goals, aren't they?
They really are. You look at IBM, they're aiming for, what is it, 200 logical qubits by 2029?
Logical qubits, those are the error-corrected ones, right?
Yeah.
The useful ones, not just the noisy physical ones we have now.
Exactly. That's a huge step. Then you have IonQ targeting a cryptographically relevant quantum computer, a CRQC, by 2028.
Meaning powerful enough to actually break something like a 2048-bit RSA key.
That's the goal. We're talking maybe 1,600 or so logical qubits needed for that. So still a ways off, but the target is there. And Google's talking commercial applications around 2030.
And it's not all future talk either. We're seeing actual economic advantage now, even with these noisy machines. D-Wave systems, for example.
Right. D-Wave uses a different approach. Quantum annealing. It's good for optimization problems.
Yeah, they helped Ford Otosan streamline manufacturing, cut a process from 30 minutes down to under 5.
And they've worked with Japan Tobacco on drug discovery aspects, too. So real-world gains, even in this early stage.
So if we connect this hardware progress back to that AI relationship you mentioned, how does quantum actually help AI?
Well, think about what AI, especially machine learning, often does. It finds patterns in data. But for some really complex problems like designing new drugs or
And
materials.
the underlying physics is quantum mechanics.
Exactly. Classical computers struggle to model those quantum interactions accurately, so they can't generate the best data for the AI to learn from.
Ah, so quantum computers can simulate those interactions properly.
Yes, they can model systems at that fundamental quantum level. This allows for true AI-driven discovery. It can generate novel, high-quality data that AI models can then use for training, data that was simply inaccessible before.
Okay, I see. So the real-world impact feels potentially massive.
Yeah.
Faster drug discovery, like with Pasqual and Quibit Pharmaceuticals, better logistics, like Ford Otosan, finance, materials.
Cybersecurity is a huge one, too.
Right, because quantum breaks current codes,
Yeah.
but also helps create new ones, post-quantum cryptography, PQC.
Correct. PQC involves developing new encryption algorithms that are resistant to attacks from both classical and quantum computers. So quantum is driving the threat, but also enabling the solution.
It's a double-edged sword, then.
In a way, yes, but it's important, to keep a reality check here.
Okay.
Right now, and likely for a while, we're mostly talking hybrid quantum classical approaches.
Meaning quantum processors working together with regular supercomputers.
Exactly. The quantum computer tackles the specific part of the problem it's good at. The classical machine handles the rest. It's pragmatic.
And we shouldn't forget, sometimes clever classical algorithms can still compete, right? I saw that NYU report mentioning they can sometimes mimic quantum effects for certain problems.
That's true, too. Quantum computing won't be the answer to everything. But for certain classes of problems, especially those rooted in quantum mechanics, it offers a fundamentally different, potentially much more powerful approach.
So we've really journeyed from, well, theoretical whimsy, these abstract ideas, to something becoming a tangible engine of innovation, especially linking up with AI.
It's developing
So
fast.
the quantum computer, yeah, once just an improbable concept, it's now starting to map out a future that's frankly hard to fully grasp right now.
Which leads to a really important question, one maybe for you listening to think about. Beyond the tech itself, the sources highlight a major bottleneck, a quantum computing skills shortage.
A skills gap.
Serious one. It's even being called a national security vulnerability. Projections suggest maybe less than half the needed quantum jobs will be filled by 2025. So the question is, how much will this human element, this race for talent and expertise, end up accelerating or maybe even slowing down this whole quantum age we've been discussing?
That's a really critical point to consider. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.